I wanted to talk to you about a passage in the Old Testament where God is speaking to Abraham, right when he is getting to know what God is about, Abraham, that is. And God makes a promise to Abraham and to all of his descendants. The Lord had said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land that I will show you. And then he goes on, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went, the Bible tells us, as the Lord had told him. Now, I'm telling you this because I think that this is key to understanding who God is to us in every single part of the Bible. God is the one who, at the very first, before we know anything else about God, tells us through Abraham, through this covenant that God has with his covenant people throughout history, that he blesses us to be a blessing to the world. Now, some of us tend to imagine that God in the Old Testament acts one way and Jesus in the New Testament acts another way. But I bring this up to suggest to you that God is consistent and God keeps his promises. And those promises aren't made only to the Jews, the original chosen people, but to everyone who believes in God and does what God commands. So go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will bless you. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. I'm not saying, and I don't think that God is saying, that you and I need to leave this place where we live, but I am saying, and I think God says, that we need to rethink how we live in the place where we live. Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. St. Augustine, who was a great preacher and theologian of the early church, liked to apply passages like this to the individual believer. And I think this is helpful, too. So I read this passage and I say to myself, how is God commanding me to leave who I have been and move toward being the man God is reshaping me into? How does leaving who I am and moving toward who I am becoming affect my relationships with my family and my neighbors? Well, the end result is pretty clear. God has blessed me and continues to bless me, but not just to make me happy. God blesses me for a purpose. Remember what that purpose is? Whenever God blesses us, it's because God has something else in mind, and in this instance, it is the blessing of those around us through us. On Sunday, after we have communion and get ready to go out into the world, I pronounce God's blessing upon all of the faithful. At the end of a wedding service, I bless the couple. I say a prayer and blessing over my children and my family whenever they go from our house on a trip, for instance. And in my heart, my understanding of why we, the church, pronounce these blessings is this. We are blessed by God in all the ways that we are blessed, in order that through us, others will know God's blessing too. We are not, if this is a helpful image, jars full of grace and blessing. We are canals or aqueducts through which God's blessings flow into the world, into those around us. So when the Apostle Paul writes to his brothers and sisters in Christ in Philippi, he too has that understanding of how God works. We are not the end recipients of the Lord's blessings, of the Lord's plans. We are the way God changes the world. And we change the world by becoming effective channels of blessings and grace. And our character, our choices about how we treat other people, affect how well we let those blessings flow, or sometimes block them. Let your gentleness be known to everyone, Paul says. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. It matters that we believe in God. It matters even more how we believe in God. Because people who treat others with disrespect or contempt may be blessed by God, but blessings are a lot like water. When water flows free in streams, it's fresh, clear, and full of life. When the water is blocked, the same same body of water can become stagnant and dead. Blessings that don't emanate from us to others around us not only don't bless others, they no longer bless us either. Gentleness unblocks blessings. Prayers and thanksgivings to God unblock blessings. Kindness and generosity not only reach others, but change us. This is what Paul was getting at. If you rejoice in the Lord always, if you are gentle with those around you, if you put aside worries and pray, give thanks and ask for God's help for those around you and for you to be a blessing to those around you, if you are becoming this kind of person, then the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We've all probably seen churches where people aren't this way. We've all seen churches that are so wrapped up in their rules or in expressing their disapproval of others that they impede their own ability to do the thing that God has blessed them to do. We talk about having a calling as the church to be in God's mission, but it's not just something we're called to do. It's something we're blessed to do. It's just that a lot of us don't understand how blessing works, and that's understandable. We've had a lot of bad teachers tell us things that aren't true or that are only partly true. The message they give us is, if you behave according to these rules, then you will be blessed and you'll be prosperous and your life will go smoothly. Or if you disapprove of all the right people and go to church, you'll be better off than, or perhaps just better than, those other people. When I read the Bible, I hear this. If you are gentle, kind, humble, and compassionate, then you will find Christ in others and in yourself, and you will know God's peace, God's acceptance of who you are becoming, and forgiveness of who you were. We can check off all the right belief boxes our pastors tell us we have to have and still be jerks. It's true. We all know this. Whatever faith tradition we come from, that's possible. Believing all the right things but getting life wrong. Because before everything else, before there was any doctrine, there was just Abraham and Sarah, God's promise and God's blessing. The reason this building exists and all of us who worship here gather is to be the place we all leave each week to go forth into the world and be the source of blessing for neighbors, co-workers, spouses, children, friends, and strangers. That's our calling. That's the most important thing in your life. It doesn't matter if you're a priest, a garbage man, a hairstylist, an attorney, a hedge fund manager, or the president of the United States. If you follow the Lord, job one in your life is to bless those around you in gentleness, prayerfulness, compassion, and love. Our job isn't to fix the world. Our job isn't to fix people. It's to manage our lives in Christ so that we get out of the way of God's blessings upon us so that they overflow and water the earth. I am in this church today preaching the gospel and standing at the altar because of hundreds of people like you and all the blessings that I've known through them. I'm here today, and I suspect a lot of you are here today because of people just like us who loved me and guided me by their lives and example. I could stand here and recite their names for an hour and not get to the end of the list, and you wouldn't know one out of 1,000 of them. But I could also have you stand up here, think for a moment or two, and begin to recite the names of all the people who Jesus used to channel blessings and grace into your lives. And that's our purpose, to be those people for others, people we might not even know yet. That is why you are alive, to be blessed and to be a blessing, to speak gently to people who dare not even hope any longer that the Lord is near, and to extend your hand to them in God's peace and love.